From the Hope 205 Studios, a Joe Louville Productions studio venture.
Imagine a workplace where leaders focus on empowering their teams, where the growth and well-being of people are at the heart of every decision. This isn't a distant dream. This is Activating Hope.
In this episode of Activating Hope, we'll explore the essential skills and strategies leaders need to guide their teams through change, especially in today's world where change fatigue is becoming increasingly common. Leaders will be provided with a roadmap for not only managing change, but inspiring their teams through it, ensuring sustainable growth in the most change-saturated environments. Rebecca Jones is the president at Mosaics, a leading provider of customer service AI and cloud-based technology solutions for enterprise companies and institutions. Rebecca joined the West Technology Group, owner of Mosaics, in January of 2021 after a 25-plus year career focused on growing businesses, people, and client success. Rebecca also serves as a member of the board for the Families of Effective Autism Treatment, FEAT, of Louisville, Kentucky. She is also an executive sponsor of Women of the West, actively volunteers for the Molly Johnson Foundation that supports children with special needs, and champions causes promoting women in technology, including the Integrating Women Leaders Foundation, Tech Up for Women, and CC Women. We're excited to have Becky with us on this episode of Activating Hope. Well, Rebecca, we are so excited to have you today on Activating Hope to talk about something that, goodness, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for our conversation today and just change. There is so much of it. You know, it used to be like things can't change fast enough. And now I think the world is saying, can we take a minute and slow down? I mean, I think once we got out of COVID or through COVID, how much change we had to go through, I feel like it's even accelerated more since then. And so that's why I'm excited to hear your thoughts, your experience on, you know, what are some strategies out there that we can use to deal with all of this change fatigue, not only for ourselves, but with our teams that we're leading. I mean, you know, please give us some hope.
Thanks so much, Hope. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm very excited to talk about something that, you're right, it just impacts so many people, and we're all going through change constantly. You know, if you work in a business space, like, businesses are always moving and growing, and that growth is about change. And so I think, you know, as leaders, we're always trying to help our teams navigate through that in the best way possible. So I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that today. I think you're right. A lot of the things that face people today is just that burnout feeling and getting lost in all of the changes and kind of feeling like, how can you, stay in front of it instead of it being washing over you. I was reflecting a little also about our conversation today and just understanding really what is change fatigue, because I think that means different things for different people. And, you know, and then how, as a leader, how do you recognize that in your folks? And that, you know, I'm not sure how you think about, you know, change fatigue, but I see it, I felt it myself, but also I see it in my teams when I start to see a lot of apathy and frustration when folks show up to meetings and their wording is more negative about things. When I see more like kind of conflict between team members, or maybe they're not as motivated as they were, right? I don't know if you recognize that as well, or, you know, if you have a different thought about change fatigue, but I'm seeing a lot of that. And, I've really experienced a lot of ways to help team members through that. So I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about that today.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, to use hope, I feel like there's just a sense of hopelessness and there's not anything I can do about a lot of this. It's happening so fast. It's coming so fast. Like, what are some things that I can just take it in, you know, just a chunk at a time? Because I think that's the overwhelmingness of change is
what, there's so much to do. What can I just do now? Where do I begin? And I almost become paralyzed in it because I don't know. And I'm so overwhelmed.
Absolutely. You know, and I think at the heart of all of it, whether it's inside of a business space or outside of a business space, it really just boils down to like trust and psychological safety at the very core and bottom. And for me, as a leader, I think when you can really find a space of vulnerability and work toward openness and establishing a trusting, open, communicative relationship with your team members, and the all of the folks that you work around, right? Whether those are, as a leader, your peers or your team members who work for and with you. Ultimately, I think finding psychological safety is the just cornerstone of helping people through change, and helping to lead but not only yourself but your teams through that. And I think as we work to establish good rapport with the humans that we work with, that we can really get ourselves from that fatigue to a space of hope as we navigate through all of the changes that we find.
Well, and I have to ask you, because I talk a lot about in leadership development, the growth and the fixed mindset. So how important in getting through change fatigue is the growth mindset as a leader for yourself, being aware of what is my mindset right now?
Yeah, I think as a leader, it's important for us to think about where are we going? What changes do I have control over? Or can help influence outcomes, and what are changes that I don't really have any control over, but I need to help my team navigate through. And those are a little bit different. So as a leader, you generally have more visibility to things that are coming that maybe your teams do, whether you think they're going to fully accept or be excited about those things, or whether they're just changes that you have visibility to that, you know, you have to help your teams navigate through. And then, of course, the uncontrolled ones. And I think, the thing to do is where you can see those changes coming, helping to establish for yourself a vision for how you're going to navigate that. And I guess I say how you're going to help your teams navigate that, you know, and really understanding the purpose. So why are we going to go through this change? What's in it for the team? What's in it for the business? How can it be a positive change, even if it's, again, not something that someone is looking forward to? Maybe new leadership, maybe new types of work processes, etc. So really trying to set a vision, understand where you're going, and then, you know, think about what is the purpose of that. And then it's similarly true for changes that are you don't have any control over. There might be, your business might be being sold, for example, and so you're going to be in an entirely different organization, and that can be a lot of change for folks. That's certainly, as a leader, not within your control, but it can be something that you have awareness of and you want to help your teams, you know, understand how they can navigate through that. So I think it's really about, as a leader, thinking about the changes that are coming at you and your team. Help them to understand the why is it happening, what's in it for them, or how they can be successful through that, in finding a space to listen to those team members. And I really do think if you can have constant communication, you know, drawing on your vision for the future, what is this change going to look like for your teams, and also just, you know, as things are changing, letting them know what's happening at each step of the way and what they can expect, how they can navigate it, giving recommendations and just listening to people through that.
I would totally agree with you because, you know, just thinking about leading change, I think the most forgotten thing that we don't share with people is the why of it. So I really love how you said it's important to let people know why this is happening. It's important to be transparent with them. It's important to communicate as much as we can. And, you know, a lot of going through change is equated to the stages of grief, you know, that something is beginning and something has to end for something to begin. And I know in sessions I've done, and perhaps you've done this from your experience too, is just putting people in a room And just even, I've put the stages of grief up and just ask everybody where they are right now. Mm-hmm. Like, what? How are you feeling? You know, and you'll find that some are already in some form of acceptance, some are in denial, some are angry. But I think it's important that as we're going through this, that constant communication, that consistent communication of just letting people know it's okay however you feel. Yeah. And being able to talk about that. And I think we skip over that sometimes. We just kind of move on to the next thing and expecting people to adapt. And people don't move that quickly.
You know, you're absolutely right, Hope. I do think you're right. It's so important to understand where people are on the continuum of change. I've talked to my teams a lot about the liminal space of change, which is essentially that messy middle space. Like, you start off at the beginning and everything is just kind of standard practice and it's going along, you know, as expected in a straight line. And then you see, you know, then you have the other end of it, which is the end of the change. And that's like a great shiny place. But the middle is just this chaos of circles and squares and lines and dots and, you know, all the different places that you're going to go along the journey of change. And I think it's very easy, particularly for leaders who have been thinking about the end state, the vision, the where are we going to go, right? You spend a lot of time thinking about what's in, ahead of the change instead of being in the moment of what's happening, not only to you, but to your teams. And if we don't acknowledge that there are folks who honestly are still at the beginning, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is even happening. Like, trying to accept the change, talking about, you know, your stages of grief. I think you're right. So understanding where your teams are as a leader really can also help you open and explore those channels of communication to help them navigate through where they are. I do talk to my folks. I haven't used the stages of grief before, but that's brilliant. That might be something I borrow. But I do talk a lot about the liminal space with my teams, and we talk a little bit about that in terms of being a hiker, like a backpacker. So you put on your backpack at the beginning of a change, and you put all your tools inside of it, and you get together with your team, and you walk through your journey together. And you help support each other, right? So there might be someone who is ahead of the change or excited for the change, and they're leading the pack, and we're all kind of attached by our safety rope, and the person at the end might not be ready to go. So we're all kind of attached together as a team, and we do spend a lot of time talking about where are you, how can we help each other get to the other side? Because a lot of times, at least in my experience, a lot of times these changes are happening and it's not like there's a decision about whether we can do them or not. Generally, they're happening whether we like them or not. It's more about yes. How are we going to get through it, you know?
They're not optional. They're not optional.
Generally, they're not. Which is, it's different and it makes it harder. I think that's part of what gets people closer to that exhaustion and that burnout. So I think having these conversations at least acknowledges the humanness in business while we're all navigating the change together.
Absolutely. Because I find, you know, just the teams that I've helped lead through that, working with leaders that have had that, often the human element is left out. It's just very transactional. It's this change, but we don't take the emotions into account of how people are feeling about this. And if we don't do that, I think we're going to be less likely to get people through it and less likely for them to be on the journey with us to get there.
Hey, superintendents, school board members, principals, teachers, and educators of all kinds. Does your district or school have some room to grow? Or could things go a little better in your school or classroom? Would you like for your kids to learn more and have a more engaging time doing it? Feeling like you need a secret weapon to tackle everything from high quality instruction to robust professional development, maybe lesson planning or any other tricky challenges your school or classroom might have? We've got you covered at Educational Directions, celebrating 25 years of service in K-12 education. At Educational Directions, we're all about making your life easier. Want free tools to level up your teaching? Done. Looking for thought-provoking blogs full of fresh ideas? We've got those too. Need a customized program for your school's unique set of needs? We're the pros. Stop spinning your wheels and start winning in the classroom. Check us out at www.eddirections.com. That's eddirections.com. Educational Directions, your trusted partner in education. always innovative and professional.
Are you an artist struggling to bring your creative visions to life? Whether you're planning a multi-country tour, mounting a play at a local theater, or recording your first album, Before the Applause is here to guide you through every step of the way. Authored by industry experts Joe DeCenzi and Joe Hanna, this groundbreaking book offers artists the fundamentals of project management paired with leadership skills crucial to getting your artistic projects over the finish line. Unveiling Before the Applause, your ultimate guide to project management for artists.
Yeah. Well, I would love to know, and you've given a few examples, but maybe a very specific example that you can think of that you successfully navigated your team through change fatigue, and like, what was your approach or your strategy? So you had this big thing that was coming at you, and what did you do immediately when you found out about it? Kind of like, what was your day one plan?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. When I came into the business that I'm currently in, we were in the middle of a transformation. And actually, I stepped into the role in the middle of the change happening. So a little bit different, but it definitely pivoted in terms of what we had to get accomplished. So the teams were in the process of migrating our customer base from an on-prem solution into the cloud. And there were a lot of pitches to our clients kind of promising things that weren't exactly true. And we were navigating through all of that. So we were having some pretty difficult conversations with our customers, but our team members were having to navigate this space as well because they had to learn new technologies. We had to structure ourselves in different ways. And so when I came into the organization, it was pretty clear that first of all, the entire organization wasn't really aware of the goals, and there wasn't a specific process through which we were doing that. And I think one of the things that was really important for me was, hey, we need to have a vision for the future of the business, for the future of the product that we're putting into the cloud. And so we pulled internally as a leadership team and said, hey, let's talk about what is our vision, right? Where are we going? What does that look like? And those conversations started to lead to, okay, we need some organizational change. We need we need training for folks. We need to help people understand where we're going while we're doing this. And so I pulled together our entire leadership team. First of all, all of our people leaders, and we just had an open conversation about this change that we were walking through, what it was, where we were going. I created a space for folks to talk about where are they. And I did the liminal space diagram with messy middle and the whole thing. And we talked about what's a non-negotiable. Like, what are some changes that are happening that we don't have control over? Like, there's a cost impact to the business of how we're running on-prem. We need to move to the cloud. You know, this is happening. It's out of our control. And the timeline is a little out of our control because of some cost constraints. So we talked a little bit about that. How are we feeling about that? It feels very much like, a death march is what it felt like for people. Like, we've got to get there. We don't see how we're going to get it done. And we're afraid that we're going to have to cut a bunch of people if we don't get finished. Like, there was a lot of fear wrapped up in that change that was out of control. And then we talked about the things that we do have control over. And, you know, I created this space for people to provide their thoughts and ideas, because I was in a room full of people who had been with the company for a very long time. So they had seen this movie before, and in a different leadership structure, and it didn't go super well. And I was also in a room with newer leaders or newer team members like myself, who had only been in the business for, you know, a couple years, or in my case, a couple months, and a few others, you know, a couple months. And so you get this broad spectrum of perspectives. And that was important in terms of the change in getting everybody's opinion and thinking about, for these decisions that we have control over, how do we take the best ideas of everybody in the room and come to a decision of change? Like, it was like, we're definitely going to change. So what is that outcome going to be? And let's have everyone's opinion in that. not everybody gets to have the final say, but at least their voices are heard and are a part of the decision making. And then we decided things like organizational structure, final details on our product roadmap, what was that vision going to look like? And I think by allowing, having open dialogue about the things that are out of our control, that were non-negotiable, and allowing people to have an opinion or at least express their perspective on the decisions of change that we do have more control over, I think that I was able to get a little bit more kind of buy-in for folks. And then as we go through that, you know, we kind of made real-time decisions. Now that's hard, because when you're making real-time decisions that might have changed from even a month ago, that can be even, it's added change on top of, you know, change that you already got in a room and talked about. And that is, I think, if you're not careful, where people can get burned out and, you know, really have more and more change resistance as you go. And so what I did to combat that is create multiple avenues of communication. So we did leadership meetings on a regular basis to talk about what's going well, what's not. And those were like weekly meetings where we agreed on, you know, what is everybody in the organization doing? What is their part, you know, their functional part? We used the OKR structure to kind of break that all down. Our team members walked away from our decisions and kind of put together their OKRs to support that. And then we would meet regularly and we would talk about things about how are you doing or what challenges are you facing? And do we need to make different decisions about those outcomes? When we had to make a change, we were also having regular all hands meetings. So we would do a monthly, you know, all hands where we're talking about what's going well, what changes, what has changed since the last time that we've talked. And that's more of a, those meetings were more of a report out. So the leadership team talking about things to our teams. And what we realized very quickly was we were not getting the voice of our team members. So we pretty quickly stood up and every 2 week, what, you know, maybe we call it an ask us anything, but it's really an open water cooler call. For context, our entire company is remote for the most part. We have a couple of people who go into a small office, but mostly remote. So we create this like water cooler conversation where anyone, you know, anyone at all in the organization can come and ask any question that they want. Leaders can join and talk about, you know, questions that they have or struggles that they're working through or updates that they have, or, you know, it's just, it's open dialogue. And I think one of the things, it obviously was a little bit contentious at first because we were in the middle of a change, some changes that people didn't like, some changes that they were excited about, different people were in different places. And those were, there were some definitely difficult conversations in those Ask Us Anything meetings where team members were frustrated about things that were happening outside of their control, things that they maybe leadership team got together and they didn't necessarily agree with. But having that space of open dialogue in, was an opportunity for everybody to know that their voice mattered and that through the change, even if they didn't always agree, they at least could get behind it because we were talking about why are we going through that change. We were being open. We were listening. And let me tell you, I got it wrong. You know, a couple of times we made decisions. We got in a room with leaders and we didn't have all of the information. We got a couple months down the road and we were like, okay, this isn't working. We need to make a different decision. And some of those things came from those Ask Us Anything meetings where we had team members raise concerns like, hey, we have this customer and we're making this change and we're moving too quickly. You know, this isn't working. And it's frustrating for our teams because our teams want to do the right thing. And you're asking us to get it done this way. You know, it was like, oh, okay. Thank you for raising that because now I know. And I just think it was, it created this wonderful space where as you're getting that feedback loop as a leadership team, which is really hard, but we had some really difficult conversations in a very open forum with very human-centered dialogue. And I think through those difficult conversations, we really established a significant amount of trust in the organization that people felt comfortable coming to a meeting with all layers of leadership, expressing their concerns, and no one got fired on the other side. That was, you know,
they were able to voice their opinion and there was not a consequence for it. So absolutely. I can come in and I can say, I hate this change. I don't feel good about it. And it was okay. It was a safe
absolutely.
Space.
Absolutely. And I think that again, going back to, you know, psychological safety, through this significant business change, and I guess I probably should have added some context. I mean, we changed everything about the entire business, from shifting from a managed service to a cloud-based service, trying to shift us closer to a SaaS organization. We changed our pricing model, our product, how people work, what tools they use, how the organization was structured. I was a new leader, so a lot of leadership change, a lot of culture change. It from soup to nuts was a full evolution of the business, you know, and it's still going because that's how things go. But I think when we were right in the heart of it, creating those spaces of safe communication and allowing people to talk through where they were on the spectrum of change, giving them a voice and always talking about our why, were really core reasons why we were able to successfully navigate through that and overcome together some of the challenges that we faced.
Well, and you know, what I love about that and what I hear you saying, and I agree with you, is that involving people in what they think they have no control over. And even if, like you said, there's no promise of this is going to change, we're going to have to go forward, we're going to have to do this, but at least I can voice my opinion. I can have, you know, I can have a say in some of this. And I also really loved what you said about just because there is this change, there doesn't mean there's not certain parts of it that we can be creative in how we're going to implement it. So this might be, you know, this big change might come from above, but as a team, we can decide how we're going to execute or decide how we're going to implement. Even though we wouldn't have picked this change for ourselves, if at least you can find some things that they can influence, I think it makes people go, you know, from helplessness to hopeful of there's, you know, certain things that I can do and I can influence this thing I didn't pick for myself.
I do so much appreciate what you just said about going from helplessness to hopeful. One thing I tell people a lot is, you know, there's a couple of things at play here. And sorry to just reflect for a moment. But when I think about helplessness to hopeful, I think that is a responsibility on both sides of the fence. So as leaders, I think we have responsibility to help navigate our teams from helplessness to hopeful through all the things we're talking about, communication, facilitating conversations, helping them understand the why, listening to our team members, all those things. Those are our responsibilities as leaders. But as a team member, I think we also have a choice. We can't have a choice of being engaged and asking questions, being, you know, I don't know, willing to be vulnerable, I think, and express how we're feeling. Because as much as a leader can ask, how are you, where are you in the spectrum of change, how are you feeling, it does, let's acknowledge, it does take a lot of bravery and vulnerability for a team member to actually say how they're actually feeling. So I do think that a lot of times that's a choice on the part of our team members on are they going to trust the process and are they going to be willing to be vulnerable and to what extent. It doesn't mean you have to lay your heart on the table, but certainly saying like, hey, I don't agree with this and here's why. So I really do think on that journey from helplessness to hopeful, that if both parties, your leadership team and your team members, can be willing to make a decision to come to the middle, so your team members to be brave and communicate, and as leaders, we're willing to be vulnerable and listen, then I think you get the best possible outcome there.
Absolutely. So to that point, what if you cannot move a team member? They are staying in the helplessness. They are not on board with this change. What is your your guidance or advice for what do you do with that team member? Because I remember in my corporate days, and this was a manager. He said a big change came down, and he said, "You can like it, you can learn to like it, or you can leave it." And that was his. I mean, that is how he dealt with people that were not getting on board with what they needed to do. So I'm just curious if you've run into that, and how do you do that? Is that something you have to end up coaching somebody out? Maybe it's no longer a good fit if they can't get on board, but staying in can prevent you from getting where you need to be. It can limit the team.
Yeah. For, you know, respect of privacy, I'm going to talk a little bit vaguely about this because I've actually had two distinct situations here. So let me kind of talk a little bit broadly. Yes, anyone who has ever experienced a change in business knows whether you worked with a person or they reported to you or they were your boss. One of the two. We've all experienced a person who is like, "I am not doing this." You know, and they are just very resistant. So as a leader, I think it's always important to know where your people are on the spectrum of change, like all the way to the beginning of our conversation about just having that, where are you on the grief cycle or in the liminal space? Where are you? And it is those team members who are at the end of the line with their backpack on and their feet planted firmly in the ground who are going to be the slowest that your change can go. And so as a leader, I find that if I spend more time with the folks who are having trouble with the change, I generally have a better outcome. Now, I'll just start from the top and say, have I had folks who I've had to have a difficult conversation with to say, "Hey, I don't think this is working out. I really want you to be a part of the team, but this is happening and we don't have control over it. You know, I really think you need to make a decision here. Do you want to continue on this journey, or do you want to, you know, take your backpack off and go someplace else? And how can we help you, you know, do that?" Yes, I've had to have those conversations. Having said that, it is a last resort, because I also have had great success taking folks who are extremely resistant to a particular change, listening to that person. Help me to understand why you're fresh, like whatever it is that it, because that change resistance can show up in a lot of ways. It's frustration, it's anger, it's, you know, pushing back, it's quietness. It can be a lot of things. So recognizing that behavior, which can be seen from the outside as very frustrating, but then understanding, okay, this is someone who is either like there's something going on there. They're either personally resistant to change generally, like change is just hard for that person psychologically, or they just fundamentally disagree, or they have ethical reason, or, you know, whatever. You don't know what path a person has walked on. So in my experience with one person in particular, I just sat down and said, "Hey, this guy seems like you're having a hard time here. Help me to understand what's going on." And that took a little time. It took a couple conversations. It was definitely not something that the person was like, "Let me talk you through this whole thing and here's how I'm feeling," because I feel like I would have had that weeks before. But after a couple of meetings, it finally sort of came out that they were very concerned about the method that we were taking for one particular aspect of this change and the way that it was coming in. And there was a lot of concern about how that would impact our customer from a contractual perspective. And it felt very like ethical. And this person was also a person who was generally like psychologically, you know, a little bit resistant to change. Like it just was hard for them too. So it was like, "I'm not on board with this." But it honestly was a concern that I had not heard generally. Like I was newer to the organization and it was just something I hadn't heard either. So A, I learned something by taking my probably biggest critic and finding a space to listen. But I acknowledge that, hey, that's something I didn't know, and let's pivot slightly so that we can take that into consideration. But then it was like a little bit of compromise, right? Like these other things that you're concerned about are kind of out of our control, and this is how it's going to go. And I hear you, and this concern is valid, and let's make a change to correct that. But these other things are really just the way that things are going to have to go. And I hear you, and I'm happy to keep talking and help you through that. But we are going to move in this direction. And if this is something you can't live with, then maybe this isn't the right place. But honestly, that team member ended up being the biggest champion for the change simply because their voice was heard and the concern that they had, they felt was an ethical concern, was mitigated and managed. And to be quite honest, they were right. So I think it was a great learning opportunity for all of my leadership team to say, hey, you know, we need to listen to this person. They were very brave enough to raise the concern that was kind of a niche concern, but we're going to make a change to address this. And it's really important when you do that, because you can take someone who is the biggest critic, who's behind the wall, you know, spoiling all of the momentum that you think you have, right? And a lot of times those people can be labeled the bad apple, right? Or the negative Nelly or all the things. But that person ended up being the biggest advocate for change in the background and went from kind of the back of my pack to the front of my pack.
I love that.
And that was a huge success story. You know, does it always go that way? No, not necessarily. But I've always tried to create a space of conversation with my team members and tried to help give them a voice when they feel frustrated and, you know, help bring them along, because there is a lot of emotion. We're human beings. There's a lot of emotion through change. And if we don't acknowledge those things, we're going to keep carrying them. And so I think when we share the load, we can get better. And sometimes people are just like, I can't do this. It doesn't align with my personal values, or it doesn't align with where I want to go with my career, or, you know, it can be lots of reasons. And I have had to have those difficult conversations where it's like, I respect your perspective. I understand where you are. I'm happy to help you through that process, but it does sound like this is probably not the right journey for you to be on. You know, let's figure out what the right next steps are. And so, you know, you just sort of work through that with somebody based on where they are.
Well, I love it, because I feel like what we've really been talking about and emphasizing is the key is communication. You have got to be able to talk about it, you know, and I find with the people that are the resistors, there's often a lot of triggers that they have from the past of, you know, maybe this seems like a change that we tried 10 years ago, it didn't work out. And here we go down this path again. And, you know, why are we doing this? And, you know, I often refer to those individuals as the keepers of the failure data. And I'm like, I love to go back and say, oh my gosh, you were there when it didn't work. And you're still here. So what would it look like if it worked? I mean, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have certain technologies. We didn't have certain resources. So if you had to put this in your head of like, how are we going to build something that works? I find that you can really shift the conversation, because they are so stuck in, you know, the past of this is the way that it is, that they can't get out of that to see the possibility of the future. So I think really trying to find out why, where it's coming from, because as you pointed out, there's always a reason. There's always a reason. And, you know, it could be in the past, nobody asked them. They just kind of got pushed aside and they're still there. So, you know, you can turn these people into a success story, as you said, of your biggest champion of change by just merely trying to engage them into a conversation, a different conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the nugget of truth I just pulled from that was keepers of the failure data. That is so true. And I love that. You know, it's so easy. So let's talk about this as a part of change management. You know, I think it's so easy for someone from the outside or new to a situation to step in and say, oh, this is crazy. We're going to change it. This is what we're going to do. And then it's for the team members who've been there, it's one more change. So they're change fatigued. Leaders are energized. And I do think a misstep that could happen is that we're not listening to those keepers of the failure data, and understanding what didn't go well in the past so that we can apply that to the future. It's super easy for someone to say, yeah, we did this before. We brought the businesses together, or we pulled the businesses apart. You know, we had this mantra before. It's all the same, you know. You hear the story. But it's really important, I think, as we're managing through, to listen to those things and ask the question, right? Have the conversation, just like you said. What can we do? So true. So absolutely true. Ultimately about that communication.
Yes. And you just mentioned being a new leader. And I see this often in the leaders that I have worked for, that I work with, is that when they come in, they're so eager to start changing something. It's almost like I have to prove that I deserve this position and that I'm smart and I know what I'm doing here. And honestly, I think that's one of the biggest missteps you can make, is coming in and changing things too quickly before you, and you've used this word numerous times in our conversation, listen. You know, I always recommend to new leaders, spend the first 3 to 6 months meeting with every employee. Have a one-on-one with them. Ask them, you know, what do you think are the things that are working well in this department? What are the things that could be better in this company? What are your biggest frustrations? You know, what do you feel are the things that are going the best, that you feel successful? I think it's important to understand where people have come from before you start making change to do something differently, because I don't think the credibility is there. It's like, you weren't here when we tried to do this before, or you don't understand, that's not how we work. And so I don't know how you can make an educated decision as a leader until you have spent time listening to what's been.
100%. My 90-day plan when I come into an organization, it absolutely includes a listening tour. And to your very point, my questions are always, what's working well? And what's not working, and what would you like to see done differently or improved upon? Like, what are the ideas that no one ever listened to? And I always get under the covers of those three questions, right? What's going well? And the real heart of that is, what's going well that if we change stuff, you do not want to break? Don't break this one thing. It's going great. You know, what's not going well is about, you know, where are there processes that you feel like you haven't had a voice in changing and that you would like to see changed? And a lot of times that's where, like, what you're doing, what process you're following kind of bumps into the next part of the organization or the handoff point. It's usually like either the receipt of that or when it leaves you and goes to another. Like, usually it's those edge processes. And then thirdly, you know, where would you like to see something change that you haven't had a voice to do so? And then what would that look like? If you had all the resources in the world, what would you put in place if you were the king for the day? And those are really eye-opening conversations, because it should start to inform your approach. And honestly, it really starts to establish that trust and rapport and psychological safety. And as long as a leader, you're starting with listening, and then when you make promises or you talk about what you're going to do in those small conversations and you carry that forward with action, then you build trust that what you say is what you do. And people start to learn that they can trust you, because trust is easy to, it's easy to lose and it's hard to earn. And it's easy for leaders to assume that they have it, but it's really when your actions follow your words that you get the most credibility as a leader. And whether you're in the midst of change or you are about to take your team through a new change, having that trust with your team members is just critical for the success of the change overall. So I think you're right. It's critical when you're coming in, particularly if you're coming in for the purpose of making a change.
Absolutely. So, Rebecca, what would be your best advice for the leaders listening to activate hope for them when it comes to successfully leading yourself and your teams? And what we have talked about is a change fatigue world, that if you're expecting that to go away, it's not. It's just, we have to learn just not how to survive it, but thrive it. So what would your best piece of advice be?
Yeah, I think, okay, I'm going to give two because they play together. So self-care and communication. So self-care for the leader, And that's get up in the morning, do whatever the thing is that helps you to find peace. For me, that's meditation in the morning, a little bit of exercise, running on the weekends, eating, you know, making sure I get my sleep, some self-care so that you're putting your oxygen mask on first, right? And what they tell you in the airplane is 100% true. Put your oxygen mask on so that you can support your teams. So self-care for our team members, as we're navigating change, right? You want to make sure that you're encouraging your team members to take care of themselves. Give them time. Hey, I don't see that you've taken any time off. We're over halfway through the year. You haven't taken any time off. When are you going to schedule some time? Or, hey, we are knee deep in this change. I see that you're dedicated. I appreciate that. Are you taking care of yourself? What are those things that you're doing? Having that open conversation with your teams allows them to know that you care about them and that you're also, as a leader, making sure they're taking care of themselves along the way.
Absolutely.
And then communication, just keeping those lines of communication open for yourself. So with those, if there's changes that are happening that are out of your control, so knowing what's happening so that you can help your teams know and that you don't get caught off guard, your teams don't get caught off guard. Or if you do, just being open and honest about things that are happening to the best of your ability, given the circumstances, and creating those spaces of listening, because communication is two ways. It's your talking about what's happening and the whys, but it's also listening to your teams and allowing them to communicate to you too. So it's definitely making sure that you're having that full bidirectional conversations.
Well, and I love to say when it comes to change, as a leader, you can't be only engaging in monologues. It's got to be dialogue. And, you know, a lot of times I see the misstep, another misstep beyond not starting with why is that I'm just basically telling you, I'm telling you this, you're going to do this. It's a monologue. There's no room for discussion. And that's not a way to build trust, get people on board. It does have to be that constant dialogue. So I really do love that. And I love starting with yourself first. Because if you don't, and you don't be that example, you know, I've worked with leaders where they tell everybody, I want you to take vacation, but they never take vacation. And so I really have to coach that leader to say, do you understand what you're communicating is? You're telling them to do it, but you're not doing it. So then the miss message is, do you really want us to do it? Or you're just saying that. So I think, you know, what is it? Seriously, be the change. Be the change you need to see and be that example. And I think that that makes people feel more comfortable doing what they need to do as well to get through it.
I think you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. I think it's so hard to navigate these things, but your actions following your words are always more important and speak louder than the words you actually say.
100%. Well, Rebecca, it has been such a pleasure having you on Activating Hope. And if our listeners would love to connect with you, what is the best way for them to be able to do that, to keep the change conversation going? If they have questions or follow-up or just your best advice beyond what you've shared today, where's a good way to reach you?
Thanks for asking, Hope. I can be found out on LinkedIn, Rebecca Jones. I think we'll throw the link up.
Yes, on the show notes.
In the podcast.
Yes, we'll put
Absolutely.
Those in the show notes. People can reach out for you.
Perfect. So I post a lot of helpful content out on LinkedIn. So find me there and connect and send me a note. I would love to hear your stories of change and how those have gone well or not so well, and or any advice that you have or your experiences.
Well, again, Rebecca, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Love this conversation because I think we're only going to be having more of them. So this, like I said, this change train is not ending. but we're on it together.
That's so awesome, Hope. Thank you so very much for having me. I really appreciate the conversation today. This topic is near and dear to my heart, and hopefully there's been some snippets or nuggets of truth that can help your audience out in the world.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Now go activate your hope, and we look forward to seeing you next time.